Welcome to the Data Able podcast, where Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser dive into data. Each week, they cover the culture, knowledge, and practices that successful organizations, leaders, and individuals use to get value out of data.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Data Able. And today with me, I'm lucky to have Rosa Pantoja. And Rosa, she actually had connected with us virtually, and she'd been listening to some of our stuff, been reading some of our items. I actually had the opportunity to grab coffee with her. So we're going to like maybe do a little bit short and coffee episode here today. But just to give you a little background about Rosa, well, you'll tell us more. Like me, you're a former scientist, except you were more in the biological sciences. I was more chemical sciences. And you turned a data person, and you first were in the marketing space, sort of the direct mail space. That then now you're with Unilever, and you've been with Unilever for a number of years. You have over 20 years of experience. Really navigated the shifts from direct mail to email, from offline to online, and really you're leveraging first party data to drive engagement across social and digital platforms. And you're a data champion, so you're that person. And when we grabbed coffee, we were talking about that and how you really start out as that data champion of one in the organization, or at least how you felt. And then you've been growing that over the years. So really excited to have you on the show today, Rosa.
Great. Thank you for that. Very excited to be on, and happy to be sharing some of what I've learned throughout the years and excited about what comes next.
Definitely. And so what did I miss? Tell me a little bit more background, give Matt and the audience context of you and what makes you tick and how you got to where you're at today.
So you mentioned that I did come from a science and research background. So I was a biology major in college and really thought that I would spend my days doing research. Of course, data, in that setting was very critical. And I think that's sort of where my love for data started. But after a few changes and looking at different opportunities, I actually landed a job at a clinical research company. And there I was helping manage pharmaceutical trials. And of course, data there can make the difference between getting FDA approval and potentially losing billions that have already gone into research. So it was really at this company that I started becoming much more interested in technology and the data management process there. I really came to appreciate sitting sort of within more of a programmatic role. I was needing to share the requirements from sort of the client-facing people at the organization and sharing those with programmers and statisticians and acting really in that liaison role. So I really came to appreciate how important it was to be able to sort of sit between those conversations and be able to sort of act as a translator and being able to provide clear specs. So that way there was really not a disconnect between the business need and what was delivered from an analysis of capability. And, I think when I think of sort of the thread that runs through all of my roles, I feel that I love tackling a problem. And because every problem can have several solutions, I enjoy working across many teams to really try to find what's the approach that's going to add the most value.
Excellent. Well, and that's quite a background. And last we chatted, it was one of the hottest days in New York. And you made the trip out to Manhattan and we visited in a coffee shop. And so really appreciate you doing that and getting to know you in person a little bit more. And one thing you had mentioned is you had listened to a lot of our podcasts and read different articles and things resonated with you because you are a data champion. Talk a little bit more about that role as a data champion and how in a big behemoth organization like Unilever that you're able to be able to cross boundaries and more on that front.
Sure. So yes, I've been with Unilever for many years. So while today in the halls, there's a lot of buzz around being data driven and what that transformation will mean. And we're really sort of in the middle of that right now. That wasn't always the case. So when I first came out to Unilever, it was really working closely with customer data and really just supporting a single brand that had started collecting some consumer data around for an email newsletter, right? So very straightforward in terms of what they were looking to support, sort of this ongoing communication to consumers. And then from there, really then grew to be more of an enterprise asset and really thinking about how do we continue to build this so that all of the brands can make use of this data, contribute to it, and then continue to sort of unlock the value for the business. So yes, there were definitely times when there really wasn't really a business sponsor, someone championing it within the business. So a lot of that was really just having a seat at the table, being part of the conversations, identifying the opportunities to sort of insert data into the conversation, and then identifying sort of those quick wins where you could sort of kind of see the light go off for the marketers in terms of what this could deliver for them and how this could help them meet their targets. So that's really been a journey. And I feel like there's definitely been sort of a lot of changes that have happened. You mentioned, you know, seeing sort of the shift from direct mail to email. Now it's really, the conversation has shifted to that sort of multi-channel, being able to continue that conversation regardless of where we're engaging. I feel like we're in a very data-rich environment right now. And it's sort of a new set of problems that come with that, right? Which that hasn't been the case, but be careful what you wish for, right? So now it feels like we're swimming in data. So the focus is much more on how are we just really smart about where we focus our resources, because those are limited, right? And they typically will always be.
Yeah, it's kind of, it often becomes like you spend so much time trying to get people to care, and all of a sudden they start caring, and now you have massive resource constraints, and you can't possibly serve all of the needs that you just created for the organization, right?
Right. And I would say that I'm really proud in terms of having sort of taken up the torch and sort of make sure that we didn't let go of what we'd already built up, right? So from a first party data perspective and continuing to evolve the technology roadmap and all of the capability and services around it, really sort of holding on to that. Right now, we're sitting at a point where that's not the problem, right? It isn't really about, do we have the right technology? Do we have the right partners? It's really more of a conversation on our structure as an organization to take advantage of that. So, do we have the right resources in-house? Are we sort of shifting the culture so that data is really sort of at the front of every conversation and every meeting? And when we talk about being consumer-centric, are we really listening? Are we really actioning on what the data is telling us? So, you know, I often say, I think technology sometimes can become a little bit of that, maybe like a crutch, you know, or sort of the excuse of why we don't do it. And I often will say, you know, if you snap your fingers and you had the solution, if you actually had everything you think you need, like, are you ready to actually do that? Are you sort of ready to take those decisions, action on them? And would you know what to do? And often that's usually where people get stuck, right? So then that becomes a much more interesting conversation to then lead and guide that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like this maturity of data within an organization. So can you take us back for a minute to when you first started this journey? And it sounded like you were kind of this power of one out there championing a different approach. So what challenges, what conversations were you having with people? Were people generally receptive to this new way of doing things, to taking a more data-driven approach? Or did you really have to drag them to the table? And if so, what did that look like?
I think it really depended. You know, there were definitely times when we needed to really help tell the story. So, you know, I think for some marketers, sort of in the early days when we talked about data, more often than not, they were being sort of approached with sort of market research data or data that was sort of aggregated. And there was sort of less a level of comfort of the ability to have access to data at the actual individual level and what that process looks like for stitching together what consumers are directly telling us, and then how do we then tap into sort of the wealth of sort of third-party data that's out there. So for me, it really became about having a really clear view on what their objectives were and sort of hearing from them what they were hearing about, well, what do you think your consumer looks like, right? We do, you know, so much research to sort of nail down what that target is. But the reality is, you know, consumers who are engaging our brands, who love our brands, look really different, right? So I think once you're able to show that this can not only help you within your email newsletter, right? Because often that was really where the conversation was starting. Hey, you know, I need to play in this channel, right? I've been given sort of a direction that I need to indicate that I'm playing within digital, right? And once they were sort of in that space, then it was really about showing them, okay, you can actually also translate value from this channel into all of the other work that you're doing, right? So it could help you drive innovation. It could actually help inform sort of your product funnel. It could actually help us, you know, on the customer side of the business in terms of helping our retail partners sort of better with us, right? So that was really the approach. And I'm pleased to kind of see how that journey has evolved. You know, I think today it's much less of having to convince anyone that data is important. I think now it's really about picking and choosing the right opportunities and making sure that anything that we're doing for a single brand, that we're actually able to then scale that, right? And make sure that we're not just sort of doing these one-offs, that we're able to then sort of share the learnings, share the best practices. And if we're building capability, that we're building that, again, to scale for the organization.
Absolutely. So you mentioned one of the big strategies that you went after was like getting some quick wins out there. Can you tell us about one of your early quick wins, what that looked like, and how you got that win?
Sure. So, I mean, in the early days, when we were making the shift from direct mail to email and then just having that digital presence, it was really a focus just on subscriber growth, right? So it was really kind of a numbers game. But by having sort of the content living online, it gave us an opportunity to understand what kind of content consumers were really interested in, right? So when we were sort of producing a direct mail piece, we really didn't have visibility to that, right? So that level of data coming in and being able to measure which articles were actually resonating, how much time were consumers spending on certain content, then actually gave us the opportunity to use it also to test things out that we were doing in other channels, right? Before we actually moved forward. So again, I think that was really a great way to show that once we shifted into digital, the flexibility and the ability to measure in real time and to be able to shift if something isn't working, that was a little bit of a jolt, I think, you know, because we weren't used to working that way. We were sort of used to, you know, waiting weeks potentially to get a read on something, you know, if something was successful or not. So yeah, I mean, I think that was really the beginning of sort of understanding this new way of working and being able to react to the data as it's coming in, and also sort of having different KPIs, right? Our success metrics completely had to be redefined.
That's a great story and good to give a little perspective for others as that was early in your journey. And when you jump ahead to today and you're talking about KPIs and metrics, how has that developed over the years? Let's talk KPI and metrics, because those are a way that oftentimes everyone's using data in that capacity. How have things evolved now in your organization?
Well, the shift that we are now is we went through, and I think this is very typical at large companies, is having a large and sort of heavy reliance on sort of agencies and partners. And we, you know, I think there's been a recognition of needing to really own the metrics and to own the data. So that's been a focus for the last few years. So I think we're now at a point where building up internal teams who are very focused sort of on the data science side of things has now opened up the ability for us to really focus on what those dashboards and internal reporting looks like for us. So from a digital perspective, we sort of tracking the standard sort of site metrics. We're looking at sort of email performance and looking at that side by side and able to sort of look at it from an audience lens versus a channel lens. And there's still a little bit of work that's happening there around being able to stitch that all together so we have the full picture. It's nice to sort of see us shifting away from a reliance on like these sort of external assessments that we would go through that didn't often have the context, right? So if, I don't know, someone looked at our sort of brand digital presence and commented that, well, potentially we're not strong within CRM for a particular brand, potentially it's likely that that just wasn't a focus, that wasn't a priority for the brand, depending on sort of where they are and sort of what their targets are. There might be a really good reason why you're not seeing the performance that you might expect to see from, say, an industry. So we're refocusing right now on how do we make sure that we're always layering on that context so that the dashboards are meaningful, right? It isn't just I'm measuring against some external benchmark that actually doesn't mean anything because we're not factoring in how we've chosen to, let's say, manage our investments or focus our resources.
That makes perfect sense. And as you're talking about that actionability with dashboards, how do you, now certainly some people are going to be very receptive to grabbing a dashboard and understanding that actionability and going about that. But how much of your effort is spent really sort of educating and training others around the basis behind the data, the trusting of the data, the likely action points that are out there? How does that work in your role?
There's definitely a big focus on the education piece. We do have a tendency of having multiple tools in this space, so that becomes a challenge. Depending, you know, sometimes it feels like there's definitely not a lack of tools. And some of that is because, you know, if we're working with partners and agencies in the space, they will have their preference, right, of how they want to look at the data. And right now, we at least are getting much better at picking the right tools and making sure that we're consistently building things out and sort of sticking with that one capability versus having a breadth of tools that sometimes can then get confusing. And I think it makes it much more difficult for anyone to get very proficient if we're sort of, you know, bouncing around and across a number of tools. But the reality is that I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where there's a single sort of reporting or dashboard. So what I tend to focus on is making sure that at least from a backend and technology perspective, the data is flowing regardless of what tool you're looking at. And that from a data quality perspective and consistency perspective, the end user can be confident that they'll be seeing something they can rely on, right? And then, yeah, there's from an education standpoint, you know, Unilever is really very focused on sort of self-directed learning. So there's definitely a lot of resources that are made available just beyond just, let's say, learning a specific, like whether it's Power BI or Tableau or whatever it is we're using, but just generally like around the disciplines. There's a lot of resources that's been made available for, you know, people to be self-motivated and actually seek out that content and then be really clear on who the internal resources are that they can then tap. We have sort of core teams that are subject matter experts and sort of centers of excellence that are set up. So it's difficult to sort of find the right people if you're stuck or want to dive a little bit deeper. And, you know, I am finding that I'm getting more of those types of questions and more of an interest than maybe I've seen in the past, which is nice to see.
That's really great. You know, we mentioned earlier on that you know, success sometimes breeds some new and interesting challenges. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing for like the next 1 to 2 years? Like, what are some of the big challenges that you're facing and are going to need to solve as you continue on this journey?
So that's a great question. For me, I think it's going to be around data privacy and data governance. So I feel like there's a sort of finding that balance between the ambition of sort of data democratization and making sure that regardless of what your role is, you have access to as much data as you can to inform what you're doing. I think that's right, but then there's sort of how do we balance that with making sure that we still have visibility to where all of that data is and how it's being used, what insights have been derived from that, are we being consistent in that approach? So that is, I think, going to be the focus for probably the next couple of years. And then when you layer on the focus on data privacy, particularly in the U.S. market with the California Consumer Privacy Act, which is kicking in 2020, and sort of an expectation that there are going to be many other states that will soon follow, it just becomes really critical for you to know exactly where any sort of sensitive data sits. So I feel like the companies that will succeed in sort of striking that balance will have really strong efforts on sort of that data mapping exercise and having a view on the landscape, but then just will also embrace these exercises about being less about sort of meeting or being compliant with a regulation, but having it be more about data transparency, right? So especially within the consumer space, like we're really looking at that as an opportunity to have a conversation, potentially educate if there's sort of discomfort about what are you doing with my data, what data do you have, and having it again be less about sort of legal compliance. And I think that will position us to just be ready and have it be much less of a stressful exercise, but more about what opportunity unlock for us to continue building those relationships.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely critical that you don't get too bogged down in the regulation because it will stifle innovation and it will stifle insight. But at the same time, you can't put the company at risk either. So how are you guys thinking about potentially approaching that? I know there's some vendors out there that are starting to do some of these more data governance, like mapping type solutions where they can crawl all the different tools and see who has access to what things. Are you thinking of this in more of a like a tool or technology solution? Is it more of an education solution or maybe a little bit of both? How are you guys thinking about solving this?
Definitely tackling it on both fronts. You know, we can definitely rely on technology, but I think with organizations complex as Unilever, it really is important for everyone in their roles to just have an understanding of and just an appreciation for, okay, I'm working with certain data sets. What's happening sort of upstream of me, downstream of me? Am I being mindful and diligent about how I'm managing this data? And of course, having the technology and the capabilities sort of track all of that and have an audit trail and sort of have that sort of data lineage becomes important. But we're very focused right now on just making sure that everyone in their role is touching some type of data. And then once we kind of take a step away, you know, away from that, then it really then is about focusing our efforts on where the risk is, right? So, you know, not every piece of data is going to have the same level of risk associated with it. So let's just make sure that we sort of put our energy in where the greatest risk is versus having it be something that's sort of a fire drill. And I think that approach is really sensible, and I think everyone is embracing, and I haven't really encountered any sort of resistance to how important this is. you know, I think it then also brings it front of mind for people that when there is an opportunity to bring data into the organization, really thinking through, okay, well, is this a good source? How does this add value to the rest of the data I already have? Is this really, incremental to what I have, or is this just now potentially redundant data that exists somewhere else? So I think it is forcing sort of those questions to be asked sooner in the process instead of sort of once the data is already sitting somewhere, you know, potentially not being used, right? So I think that's a good place for us to be.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think people quickly think, well, we want as much data as possible. We know that most people aren't using the majority of data that they have. And so asking those questions up front and really trying to understand, is there value here, whether it's right now or down the line, that it's worth not only the cost of, you know, initially capturing that data, but storing that data and then, of course, governing that data are really astute. And one thing tied to that a little bit, I think we talked a little bit about this when I was out in New York, is Unilever unique because it has so many brands, and some of those brands are direct-to-consumer brands, and some of those brands are just simply brands that, you know, you'd get at your grocery store or your Target or Walmart type store, where people are mainly interacting with you. So it's more of an indirect relationship with the end consumer. How do you take that into account and manage that from a marketing analytics side? Well, obviously, if you don't have as tight of a relationship with the consumer because it's more indirect, how do you account for those types of things?
Right. Yeah. We now are fortunate to have a lot of visibility within the data space and a number of acquisitions that Unilever has made in the last few years, where we do have more of that direct sort of purchase data. And but for the majority of the core brands, it's really a challenge to sort of attribute to distribution, to be able to directly measure the impact of any of our sort of programs. So what is the impact of what we're doing within digital? So it's really there about, in some cases, the approach has been about partnerships. So can we identify a source of that data that is beneficial to us, where we can have visibility to transactional data, potentially receipt data, and then have that be back to the consumer, because potentially it might be about offering a rebate opportunity for a purchase. So there are ways to get access to data, but typically it's not going to be at scale, and you're not going to have like huge volumes of that data. So then it becomes about creating seeds and using the data that we do have to sort of build out models and do some sort of look like modeling to find consumers who have that behavior that we're looking for. So whether it's propensity to purchase or potentially, you know, we want to find consumers, we are able to sort of use the data that we do have available and then sort of do some of that modeling to scale that out.
That makes a lot of sense. And it ties in closely with the data governance and that component of things. So certainly balancing, you know, how can you innovate and how can you harness the power of data to make your marketing analytics more effective, but then also balancing that data governance and how much information is collected in that. So sort of these things sort of tie full circle together. One thing I'd like to ask you before we get into our quick fire questions. So as you've been in the industry for a number of years, how have you developed your career and kept on enhancing your career throughout? Like, what are the ways that you've gone about it? And what advice would you have for others that are maybe younger in their career that they're trying to, from a sustaining perspective, what advice would you have for them?
The approach that I've had, I mean, Unilever keeps me super busy, and there definitely have been times where I kind of get a bit into heads down mode. But I think it's really important too that you're keeping up and maintaining relationships externally. I like to connect with people who are in similar roles at other companies, especially if they're non-competing, to really just sort of have that knowledge sharing and understand where they are in their journey and start to make some of those connections in terms of, okay, they're having other challenges. How have they overcome those? I think it can become way too easy to kind of put the blinders on and sort of get stuck a little bit in that sort of how your company or your organization approaches something. And there's a huge benefit to sort of coming out, sort of sticking your head out a little bit and having those conversations. For me, that's what's been key. And, you know, there's such a wealth of partners in the space, and we have the benefit of having many sort of consultants and partners that are in the halls. And I really appreciate what they're sort of each bringing to the table and conversations to get to where's the real opportunity and is there like a real unlock from like where their strength is, and how do we maybe just push just a little further together. And just being really super open. I think just being open-minded, open to the potential of something, and recognizing that we don't have every answer, right? So we have to make sure that we're being collaborative and that we're bringing the right people to the table. Just being willing to test and fail. That would be the advice I would give.
Yeah, absolutely. Learning from others, collaborating, continuing to grow each other, I think is a great way to go about it. And the other people get benefit from learning from you, and you learn from them. It's a great way to go. So with as we close up, we want to do a couple of rapid fire questions for you. And I think based on what you just talked about with kind of learning from others, my first rapid fire question for you is, who is your data hero? Who is kind of that person that you look up to who really understands data and really knows how to use it in an organization?
So I don't have a specific person, but what I will do is sort of give a shout out to the many people I've worked with over the years who I feel are super critical to making the difference to the success of a project. And for me, it's the data strategist. For me, people in that role are the ones who are sort of connecting the dots, are driving that cross-functional understanding of data, bring together strategy and operations. I feel like in terms of understanding what it takes to transform data into insights is really what I've seen can be the difference between a project being not. So that's who I would call out.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of along those same lines, do you see a data trait or a skill that's most undervalued today? I think I might know the answer based on what you just described, but kind of curious to hear your perspective on what those traits or skills that are really going to make like an analytics person career go into hyperdrive in the next couple of years.
I would say it's storytelling. I find that, and I spoke earlier about the importance of having context, right? If the context is factoring in sort of what the priorities were, the objectives, what are we sort of sinking investment into, and how is that, what are the inputs and the outputs to be able to, that are impacting how we're performing, then you're just not going to nail it. So I feel that any analyst or data scientist who is open to being part of those conversations and having that table is able to then communicate the insights that we derive to any audience, right? Being able to frame those results so that they're meaningful, then just makes it that much easier and sort of in terms of seeing the impact from a decision-making standpoint, because and so much clearer. So I think having analysts that are more business facing are going to make them super valuable to any organization that they're sitting in.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's definitely something that I try to advocate as well, is really those people who can sit in between both the business side as well as the data and technical side. All right, my last question for you, Rosa, what is your personal data superpower?
I would say it's curiosity. I love looking at a problem from different angles and perspectives. And I really enjoy the process of pulling in resources who I know can add something to that conversation. I am sometimes accused of being a devil's advocate in these situations because I do like to challenge. I enjoy asking questions to try to sort of get sort of underneath some of the assumptions that we're making, to really challenge if we're setting clear expectations about what the data can and cannot tell us. So I don't really mind advocating potentially in a poison point of view. But I find that it ends up stimulating some sort of passionate discourse. And in the end, we kind of unlock a little bit of innovative thinking and end up in a better place. So that would be my superpower.
Fantastic. I love it. Curiosity is obviously a critical skill for any good analyst. Well, Rosa, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to us about some of your experiences on your data journey at Unilever. For the people on the podcast, if they want to get a hold of you, reach out, ask a few more questions, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. So just Rosa Pantoja. Definitely reach out if you're interested in connecting. And also my website is just rosapantoja.com. So feel free to check that out. And I look forward to hearing from some of you. And just keep up the good work.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure to put those links in our show notes so that everybody can get them after listening to this awesome podcast. Rosa, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was great.
The Data Able podcast is produced by Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser and made possible by Beyond the Data. At Beyond the Data, we are on a mission to help high-performing individuals successfully become champions for a more data-driven approach in their organizations. We believe that data science is only part of the equation. Getting value out of data requires building a culture that starts with you, is supported by executives, and trickles down to every facet of your organization. You can learn more about Beyond the Data and our approach at gobeyondthedata.com.